paper for it. I'll put it back there. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Hope you brought your Bible tonight. And I don't have anything to say tonight, but God's got some things to say, so we're just going to depend on His Word and preach the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 30, the Bible says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And the multitude rebuked him because they should hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?'" Boy, there's a question. He said, "What do you want?" "And they said unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." You know, there's so much going on today in the name of Christianity and all this so-called healing that's going on. And, you know, if that stuff was real, I mean, the medical profession would accept it. I mean, these guys would be just going through all the hospitals and healing people. They wouldn't have to have a healing line of a church and have the people come to them. I mean, they'd be going to the hospital and say, "Hey, move over, bud. I'll show you what to do," and heal those people. But listen, what Jesus did here was a miraculous thing. Number one, though, this showed the nation of Israel just how sorry and wicked they were and how low they had gone. Because when God brought Israel out of Egypt, He said, "If you'll follow my commandments, if you'll follow my leadership and follow my word," He said, "none of these diseases that are on the Egyptians will be upon you." And when Jesus came to the Jews here 2,000 years ago, when He came to the Jews, almost all He did was heal people, which was a rebuke to the Jewish nation that they were so sick because they fell away from God and they fallen away from the commandments of God. And so, but here's some men here, and they're wanting some help. And you know, there's a lot of people in this world who need help. The Bible says we're lost. And the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The way of the transgressor is hard." Yeah. You know, folks have it hard. Teenage suicide is the number two killer of teenagers now, teenage suicide. Why? Why would somebody take their life? Because it's such a crummy world. Yeah. I mean, who wants to live in it if all it is just all kinds of heartache and all kinds of sorrow and murder and rape and killing and divorce and all this, and then you die. And without Jesus, you go to hell. So why go through 40 or 50 years of that? Why not just end it now? That's what's going on. But listen, the key is realizing that you have a problem and you need help. And these blind men, it didn't take much for them to know they need some help. They couldn't see. And there's a lot of people in this world that can't see. I mean, you'll tell them about Jesus and tell them how to be saved, and they say, "I just can't see how it can be that easy." They're blind. Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We have an eye problem. We can't see. This Bible here, a lot of people can't see what's so much, you know, what's so important about the Bible. Well, it's because most people don't know who wrote it. They don't know in person. Yeah. I'll tell you what, there are a lot of things in the Bible, though, that anybody can understand. And I'm thankful for that. And even lost people can understand. And a lot of the Bible. It's not as hard as some people make it look. But these blind men, they realize they have a need. But listen, if Jesus never passed by, they'd have been blind until they died. And I want to preach a message tonight on when Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by. Well, when Jesus passed by these blind men, they knew He was the answer. I mean, I don't know if they had tried other things or not. I don't know if they had been to healing lines. There were different things in Israel. Of course, that pool when the angels turned it up every, I think, 37 years or whatever, that they could go down in that pool. The first one down would be healed. And different things happened. But listen, they hadn't had any help. But when Jesus passed by, they realized, they said, "This is the answer for us." I mean, Jesus can help us. And so they said, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Listen, they realized who Jesus was. Now, a lot of people today, they don't know who Jesus is. Most people, their impression of Jesus is either a little baby in a crib, who's a helpless, defenseless little being, or a bloody mess hanging on the cross, which is also a helpless and a harmless being. But listen, Jesus is Lord. Now, here in the United States, we don't exactly understand what Lord means. We understand a president, but we don't understand really what a Lord is. But a Lord, when he passes by, a Lord, you bow on your knee and put your hand out and hail that Lord. That's the way they do. A Lord. He's the boss.
Amen.
He's the sovereign.
Amen.
He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. These blind men, they realize who Jesus was. Some people, Jesus is a good luck charm. I mean, they wear it around their neck, or maybe when problems come, then they'll fall on their face and pray, "Oh God." That's a real popular term. "Oh God, oh my God." They call him God when some problem comes up. That's not who Jesus is. He's not a good luck charm. And Jesus is not somebody he balls around. You know, some people, they get to praying, and you know, when they need something, "Give me this, give me that. God, go do that. God, do this." He's not a servant. He's not somebody who just balls him around. He's God. He's Lord.
Amen.
He's Lord Almighty. And these blind men realized that. They said, they didn't say, "Heal us." They said, "Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us."
Amen.
They realized they didn't deserve it. But they said, "Would you have mercy on us? Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And verse 31, the multitude rebuked him. It's not a real popular thing to hear a gospel message preached. Now, it's real popular to get religion. It's real popular to go to church on Sunday morning. But you're fanatics tonight. Amen. I mean, Monday night if you're at church, here, the multitude, I mean, the common people rebuked them because they should hold their peace. They said, "Listen, don't get fanatical about this thing. I mean, he's just a great teacher. He's not who y'all think he is. He's just a teacher." But these blind men realized he was Lord. They realized he was the one that made everything that they ever depended upon. He made it. The Bible says, "By him all things consist." All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now, that's a lovely revelation right there. I'm just telling you why. I don't even believe in theistic revelation of God. Created to begin with and just let it go, you know, and just said, "All right, see how y'all know God's in control right now. He's lost control. And he knows what's going on." Amen.
Amen.
They realized who God was. And the multitude rebuked them and said, "Listen, don't get fanatical about it. But listen, I'm glad that when they said it again and Jesus stood still."
Amen.
He stood still. I mean, you know, there's some preachers just too busy. Amen. These TV evangelists, and they, you know, you try to get to see them. You try to get to see the Pope. Try to see him. But listen, Jesus, the Bible said, he stood still. He had time.
Yeah.
I mean, he had time. He was too blind, man. I mean, listen, he was going somewhere. He had something to do. But when he heard a call for help, he stopped. Thank God for it. Amen. God's not a God that just hates people. And listen, our God, I got a missionary friend that did a study of all the religions in the world that ever had been that he knew of, that he could study about. Our God is the only God that it has been said of. God is love. The rest of the gods keep you in peace.
That's right.
The Bible says the love of God constrains us. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God. I mean, it's not like God hanging over you a hell, which if you're lost, I mean, that's where you're going to go. But it's not like he's hanging you over hell and saying, "Listen, you better do what I say." No. When God speaks to you about being saved, he shows you his son hanging on the cross. His love. He said, "Listen, I so love the world."
came home to me about his son. He said, I love you this much. Remember when you were a kid, your mom would ask you, how much do you love me? She said, I love you this much. That's how much Jesus loved you that much. And he hung on the cross and died for you. Said he stood still and called them. I'm glad he still talks. Jesus still called them. He called them and said, what will you eat that I shall do unto you? And what a question. I mean, here's two guys who've never been able to see. And here's a man that has listen, they know he has the power. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, we want to receive it, sorry. We want to be able to see. Yeah. Just to use a term that we use a lot, piece of cake. That's a piece of cake. I mean, that's all you want, just want to be able to see. He said, I'm made of eyes. I'm made of eyes. I know how people see. All I have to do is just touch it. Peter touched it, and they received his sight.
Yeah.
When Jesus passed by.
Yeah.
When Jesus passed by. I just want you to know he never saw the sick and he couldn't make it.
Yeah.
You read all through the Word of God, all through the Gospels, when somebody came to Jesus and needed help, when somebody was blind and never walked away blind.
Yeah.
When somebody came to a death and never walked away deaf. Matter of fact, he really did mess up three funerals. Amen. Three funerals, he just blew them. Back in the old days, they hired mourners. They did. They hired mourners. I mean, people had to weep and wail, and they were hired to do that. And this one funeral, I mean, they were on their way to the grave plot. And I mean, these mourners, they were wailing and oh, like that. It wasn't in their heart, but they were getting paid for it. And they're wailing to Jesus. The Bible says he stopped the procession. He said, what's going on here? And this widow said, my son, he's dead. Here he is. And Jesus said, this. He said, arise. Well, he got.
Amen.
That's what the whole funeral said.
Amen.
I'm talking about Jesus. Now, boy, when Lazarus was dead, listen, Jesus knew Lazarus was going to die.
Amen.
I mean, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lazarus is sick, and he stayed where he was two more days. They said, listen, we got to get over it. He said, no, I said, you're fixing to see something. And well, I'm telling you what, when Jesus got to Lazarus' tomb, they were all crying, and listen, Jesus, I'm glad Jesus wept.
Amen.
Now, did Jesus know that he's going to raise him from the dead?
Yes.
But he wept. You know why? Because they were weeping. They were weeping. The Bible says we have none of our priests which cannot be touched. But the feelings were our firmness. It was in all points sent to mind that we would be together without sin. And Jesus knows how we feel. And he knew how they felt. And even though he knew in the next breath he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, the Bible says, Jesus wept. And he said, take the stone away. They took the stone away. He said, Lazarus, come forth. I've always heard this, and I believe it's true. You know why he had to say, Lazarus, come forth?
Yeah.
If he had just said, come forth, everybody would come. He said, I am the resurrection. I am. Amen. Thank God. He never saw the sick. But he couldn't make well. Something else about Jesus. He never saw a sinner that he couldn't save. Never saw a sinner he couldn't save. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. You know, so much confusion in this world of why Jesus came on this earth and why he did what he did. And I just read the paper last week, the week before last, where the top theologians here in California got together and decided that Jesus he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know that he's going to be what they call a cult leader. And what he did was just come down to reform Judaism. And he wasn't God, and he wasn't going to come back. That's what the top theologians of the day said about Jesus. Listen, Jesus didn't come to be a great teacher. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
That's why he came. Well, he came here in Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. The Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was a little stature. And he ran before and climbed up in the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him
and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, see that multitude there again, there they are. They're always there. And when they saw it, they all murmured and saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I mean, Zacchaeus was a wicked man. Listen, even the wicked people hated the publicans. They were just a rotten crew. They were thieves. And they, well, I hate to say it, but they were like the IRS today. It's the same deal. They were tax collectors, and they overcharged, and they got away with it because everybody was scared of them. And even the Congress today is scared of the IRS. They're not going to make any laws to stir that thing up because they can get checked. So Zacchaeus was a man like that, but he was a wicked sinner. But listen, when Jesus passed by, he even loved Zacchaeus. I mean, the worst one of the bunch. I'm just telling you that he loved the worst one of the bunch. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Now, Zacchaeus, he stole from people, but there are other thieves, and I'm not belittling thievery. I mean, I'm telling you that sin is sin and wrong is wrong. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, his name was Saul, he had papers in his hands killing and permission to kill Christians. That's how wicked Paul was. I mean, when Paul was on that road to Damascus, he had papers in his hands to get people, Christians, people in the church, and bring them back to his town and trial and a kangaroo court and kill them. But Jesus passed by.
Amen.
Jesus passed by me. He said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Was Saul persecuting Jesus? No, he wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting Jesus' church. See, we're in Christ. He was persecuting Jesus.
Yeah.
In the United States. What persecutest thou me? He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, Paul, I've been speaking to you for a long time. You see, when Stephen died, Paul was holding the coats of all those people who stoned Stephen. Bob said, Stephen had the face of him when he died.
Yeah.
And just like Jesus, he said, into thy hand, I'm in my spirit. And he said, lay not this sin to their charge. I mean, just like Jesus. I mean, just was an angel. And he was stoned, and all those people who stoned Stephen, they got their clothes by the man called Saul. And from then on, God was speaking to Saul, by the
Church.
And he sees Saul there on the road to Damascus, he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, Saul, how long are you going to go when I get saved? He said, how long am I going to have to speak to your heart and speak to your conscience and tell you about heaven and tell you about hell and convince you that I'm the Messiah? How long are you going to kick against the pricks? And Saul said, Lord, what will thou have to do? And God saved him right there on the road to Damascus. I'm just telling you, there's not a sinner. Jesus never saw a sinner that he couldn't save. When I first got out of Bible college and went to Lebanon, Ohio, and started knocking doors the first week, just going from door to door, and telling folks about the Lord, and then went to church, and went on Colbert Street. That was the first street we knocked on this one door, and this little video, short, snippy woman came to the door, and we talked to her, and she said, well, I said, I'm saved, and she went to Dave Jones' church here in South Lebanon, and she said, I've just been saved. I ain't even been saved here yet, and we said, well, listen, that's a good church. We're glad you're going there. And we said, well, listen, we're just two blocks away. And we said, we're having a Bible or something, but you come visit us, you know. And she said, that'd be good. And we were about to leave, and she said, before you leave, she said, will you pray for my husband? He's sorry. And I've never heard a woman call her husband that before, you know, but he's sorry. And we said, all right, we'll pray for him. So we started praying for Jack Shue. And I saw Jack about August of the month after I saw Jack. And Jack was a rock musician and pretty big in that area. And he called himself Mr. Dynamite. He was a mess. I saw him pulling out of the Benny Gabbert's music store and getting into a black Cadillac hearse. He bought him an old 61 black Cadillac hearse and had they carried the rock musicians and all that stuff in that thing. And head hair down about to his waist, and had a Fu Manchu. He looked like the devil. I mean, just looked like, you know, if you ever seen the devil, I've never seen him, I hope I never do. But he had that Fu Manchu, just looked wicked, you know, and had that black shirt with white sequins and Mr. Dynamite. I said, yeah, he's off. One of them, no doubt, amen. And he got that black Cadillac hearse and took off. And I said, God, hell, that poor woman, I mean, that's her husband. And start praying for Jack Shoes. And Sue had been praying for him. And Jack, of course, he was in that rock group and just all kinds of demonic influence there. And Jack was on $100 a day heroin besides all that. And of course, Jack was pushing the stuff to pay for his having. And just a big circle and a big mess. And Jack couldn't get out of it. And Jack had a good wife and a good little 4-year-old daughter, 5-year-old Missy. And but I'm telling you what, his wife got serious about Jack getting saved. She said, boy, I want my husband to get saved. Boy, I felt sorry for him. If you ever met somebody, you just know, said, well, there's no hope for them. That was Jack. That was Jack. And so we started praying for Jack Shuler. And of course, the church there where Sue was going through, they prayed for him every time they had a chance to pray. They prayed for Jack Shuler. And Sue came to church one night, and boy, she was just burdened about something. And she had read in the Bible where it said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. Because it's better to go into life maimed than going into hell with two hands. In other words, it's better to have your hand cut off than it is to go to hell. If there's a choice between getting your hand cut off and going to heaven, or having two hands to go to hell, it's better to have your hand cut off. And she got to pray, and she told the church, she said, listen, said, I'm going to pray that Jack's hand gets cut off. Say, he loves that music. She said, maybe if his hand gets cut off and he can't play that music, maybe he'll get saved. And so, well, they start praying. Jack cut Jack's hands off. I mean, they got visions about the thing. And can you imagine, though? I mean, Jack's there at home, and Sue and Missy down there by the bed praying, and Sue said, God, I pray you cut Jack's hands off. That's what it takes for him to get saved. Cut his hands off, Lord. And Missy, yeah, Daddy, cut Daddy's hands off. That's what, I mean, they got to pray, and God cut Jack's hands off to get saved. I believe in that. Yeah. I believe they did right. So after a while, Sue got to church, and she heard about something else. She said, listen, y'all pray. She said, Jack loves money. She said, I'm going to pray that Jack will go broke. If that's what it'll take to get him saved, I'm going to pray that Jack will go broke. And at that time, a millionaire from here in California somewhere had packed their group and was going to pay their record here in, I think it was in L.A., and, you know, get their record worldwide and everything. And boy, she's praying for Jack to go broke. And boy, I mean, the church started praying soon. Little daughter missed it. They got to pray, make Daddy go broke. Make Daddy go broke. That's what it takes to get him saved. Cut his hands off. Make him go broke. Whatever. I mean, he was wicked. They were praying anything. I mean, I was fighting dirty. I have to agree. I was fighting dirty. But they were praying for Jack to get saved. I mean, he was wicked. Well, after a while, this millionaire out here in California went bankrupt. I mean, he just went bankrupt. He called and said, boy, said, the thing's off. I don't have any money. I went bankrupt. That's praising God. There's one. Jack's last week before he got saved, Jack was doing a nightclub in Louisville, Kentucky. And he had $5 to his name. And he said that this nightclub in Louisville, Kentucky was next door to the pancake house. And they had a 99-cent special, all-you-can-eat pancake. So Mr. Dynamite was eating pancakes, all the pancakes he could eat every day, the 5-day gig he was doing the nightclub in Louisville, Kentucky. Mr. Dynamite, amen. Broke. So after they left the Louisville, Kentucky, they drove home, got home, or almost home. They got almost home by 3 o'clock in the morning. And they were halfway high on drugs and everything, and they saw these trains hook it up and unhook it there in Mason, Ohio. And so they stopped and started playing on those trains. And then as those trains were unhooking, you know, they'd jump on one, they'd jump on the other, and just what they thought, having a good time. Well, one of his buddies fell off the train. It lurched, it fell off, and his hands were laying right on the track. And right before that wheel came, it rolled off, and one of his other buddies drug him out from underneath that train and saved his life and saved his hands. Jack wasn't too bad to put two and two together. He said, I'm broke. They've been praying I was broke. And that could have been me now. I was losing my hands. He said, boy, I got to go home.
Both are banging. I mean, he talked to me, got home, woke Sue up in the middle of the night, about 3:30 in the morning, I guess, 4. He said, Sue, he said, I'm tired of doing what I'm doing, and I want to keep watching you guys. The boy went up beside the bed, and looked at you, and I was kind of saying, I'm telling you why. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. A lot of folks couldn't believe it. But Jack Shuler got saved. About 3 days later, he said he's driving down the road, and he had to hit some ridge and all that stuff sitting right beside him. And he said, God, if you can save my soul, you can take care of this too. And he said, he threw that out the window, and he was cold perfect. Never had a problem. I knew in the mirror. Never had a problem. Cold perfect. And then $100 a day. And just cold perfect. That's a miracle. That's God. Amen. That's God. Jesus passed by. Amen. That's what happened. Jesus passed by. People say, can't be that easy. I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen it happen. Just ask Jack Shuler. Just ask Jason. Amen. Jesus passed by. We've never seen a sinner to the soul.
Yeah.
Never seen a sinner to the soul. I'm glad you also never saw a servant to the use. Mark chapter 2, verse 14. He never saw a servant to the use. Mark chapter 2, verse 14.
Yeah.
I'm going to see some fellows that Jesus chose. And then Mark chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, and when he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting by the receipt of custom. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Here he is in verse 14. He's passing by. And he sees Levi at the receipt of custom. And he said, follow me. Now this guy was a bookkeeper. He was a businessman. Jesus can use businessmen. You know, sometimes we kind of pass them by. But I mean, this is one of the first ones Jesus got was a businessman. It don't hurt to have some smarts in your church.
Amen.
It don't hurt to have somebody know what they're doing. Amen. Amen. And take care of the books and just to be stable and be a blessing and have some smarts. Amen. But Jesus chose a man like that. But here, I want to show you somebody else he chose. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. He never saw a servant he couldn't use. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. He said, well, what kind of folks are these folks? Well, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we'll find out what kind of folks they were. Amen. This is my crowd. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Jesus never saw a servant for the years. These folks were unlearned and ignorant men. So when they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they've been with Jesus. Listen, that's all that counts. You've been with Jesus. That gives you some wisdom that you can't get in common. Universal. That gives you, listen, the Bible says, he is the beginning of wisdom. He is the beginning of knowledge. Jesus is. God will use ignorant people. God will use business people. Look who else he uses. Look back in Matthew chapter 4 again, verses 21 and 22. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and follow him. Well, what kind of folks are these folks? Well, I don't have time to turn there, but and towards the end of the gospel here, these James and John, there's some folks giving Jesus a problem, and James and John said, why don't we just call fire down from heaven and kill them? Rough fellas, amen. Just rough customers. Had some rough edges on them. All the time they were arguing. Amen. All the time they had arguments, and all the time they had problems, and all the time they had disagreements, you know. And I'm just saying, God uses roughhouses. God uses anybody. Yeah. No, just yield themselves to them. I got pretty friends all over the place. They just got rough edges on them. I got some. Amen.
And I'm glad God's knocking them off, but he's not doing it fast enough. Amen. Yeah. And I got a preacher friend out in Houston, Texas. I told you about him. Just got some rough edges on him. You know why he's in Houston, Texas? Because he's rough.
Yeah.
Because he's rough. God says, all right, you're like you are. I'm going to put you here because they need you. I couldn't handle it. I'm just telling you, I couldn't handle it. Houston, Texas, there's still cowboys down there. They still carry guns down there, amen. I just can't have it. I mean, they had a church service one Wednesday night, and an usher, one of the ushers came to Brother Jack after the service. He said, listen, there's a guy that followed us out to count the money. He followed us and watched where we went. He said, don't worry about it. They'll be back Sunday. He said, we'll be ready for him. Ready for him, amen. And so he already warned the people that next Sunday morning. He stepped up behind the pulpit. And just like he's fixing to give the announcements, and sure enough, this guy came back and had two guys with him sitting on the back row. And so Brother Jack stood in front of the people, and he said, we knew you 3 monkeys would be back. He said, my people know what to do when I get the signal. They're going to duck. He said, I got 245 behind the pulpit. He said, you see the guy sitting next to you with a coat on the pew? They cut their eyes on him like this, and it was David, Tom. Yeah, Tom Moss. Sitting beside him. That's feeding too, Moss. He's sitting beside him. He said, see that coat? He looked at that coat. He said, he's got a sawed-off shotgun underneath that coat. He said, I think it's time. And I stopped at this truck stop. I mean, the roughest-looking character you've ever seen in your life there hanging around that truck stop. And I said, you might know where White Plains Baptist Church is? No, you know, they didn't know him. One of the guys happened there and said, well, who's the preacher there? I said, Carl Lackey. They said, oh, yeah, Preacher Lackey. Yeah, Preacher Lackey. We know him. Amen. They told me exactly how to get to the church. I mean, that old man, he's been there once or twice. Amen. He goes to beer joints. And he said, I wouldn't go there. Well, he does. Amen. He goes to beer joints, and they had somebody dying in one of the back rooms. And he walked in there. As soon as he walked in the door, they all took napkins and put on their beard.
Amen.
Preacher Lackey's here.
Amen.
Preacher Lackey's all over the door. They put in that hat. You ever drink hot beer? I felt, you know, I thought, well, they need to have to order some more beer because he's been in there a long time. The preacher Lackey. I mean, the guy, he was trying to build a building behind the church he has now, and the guy on the zoning board said, you can't build it, so I ain't going to let you build it. I hate the church. I hate what you're doing. You ain't going to build that church. And the brother Lackey said, listen, if you don't give me permission to build that church, I'm afraid God's going to hit you on your head. The next day, that guy got hit in the head with a 2x4, fell off a scaffold or something. He called for a lady. He said, you can have that building.
Amen.
Come out of rough. Come out of rough character. God uses folks like that. Amen. God never saw a servant he couldn't use.
Amen.
Well, he used the businessmen. He used the ignorant folks. He used the roughhouses. He used the mean people. I mean, Paul, can you imagine anybody so mean they're going to kill Christians? Can you imagine Paul walking down the road there with orders to kill Christians, and God looks down and says, I think I can use him. He'll do this much for the devil. Just think how much he did for me.
Amen.
The Bible says to whom much is forgiven, much is required.
Yeah.
You know, some of the most blessed preachers I know have the roughest past.
Yeah.
Just got the roughest past. Never saw a servant who needs. Last of all, never saw a sliding saint that he wouldn't take back. Never saw a sliding saint that he wouldn't take back. You know, some people don't believe in back sliding. I do because I see it all the time. Just, they get saved, and after a while, something happens, and they just kind of stray away from the Lord. Backsliding. I just want to warn you, too. Most backsliders go to church. Most backsliders go to church. They don't go to church. But they're just cold and worse and back in the church for someone. And let me say something else about backsliding. There's no such term, no such word as backsliding. Backsliding. You get worse and you get worse. And there's no stop. You don't just backslide at a certain point and stop. When you backslide, the Bible never says backslidden, it says backsliding. It means worse, it means worse, it means worse. Well, thank God.
time that God never saw past life that he couldn't redeem, that he couldn't reach out.
Amen.
I guess one of my favorite books in the Bible is Hosea. Hosea was a prophet and wasn't married. I'm sure he's looking. You know, he was a prophet of God, single fellow. And God said, Hosea, are you ready to get married? He said, well, sure, Lord. They're kind of waiting. And he said, well, I got somebody for you. Well, I'm sure he got excited. He said, yeah, Lord, who is she? Do I know her? He said, well, Hosea, said she's down at the river like this. She's in one of those houses. And Hosea said, Lord, I've never touched anything unclean. And God said, Hosea, I'm going to use you as an illustration to Israel. I'm going to use you as an illustration to Israel. He said, when I reached down to God of Israel, I said, there wasn't anything to look at to pray about. He said, they were worshiping idols down in the earth, Chaldees, and just in the red light district of the world. He said, that's where I got them. He said, and they didn't deserve it, and they didn't merit it. He said, I just had mercy on them, and I loved them. And he said, when you marry that harlot down in the red light district, he said, you're going to be a picture and a sign to Israel. That's what I did for them. And so Hosea said, all right, Lord. So he went down in the red light district and found him a girl. Her name was Gomer. And he brought Gomer up to the house and married her and got her a house and got her a furniture and they had a couple of children. And I mean, made her happy. Just made her happy and just everything was going fine there. And Israel all the time, the Israelites were looking at that prophet and looking at that girl and knowing where she came from. And God was speaking to Israel and said, yeah, that's how I got you. He said, you didn't have anything to brag about. He said, I got you by my grace. And by the way, if you're saved tonight, that's where you were.
Amen.
You don't have anything to brag about.
Amen.
The Bible says, not of works, but then you mentioned both. I didn't get saved by working and doing right. I got saved because Jesus had mercy on me.
Amen.
So Gomer here, she's living with Hosea there. And one day, Hosea come home from work. And the kids are crying. And he said, well, where's Mama? And he said, Mama's gone. Mama's gone. And he said, well, did she say where she's going? And one of the kids said, yeah. She went back. She went back. He said, you mean she went back? I said, yeah. She went back. She went back. I'm sure that broke his ass off. I got to pray to God. I said, God, she went back. What am I going to do? And God said, well, that's up to you. God said, what are you going to do? Hosea said, well, she did me wrong. I mean, I had everything for her. She did me wrong. I mean, by grace, I went down there and got her and brought her up. She didn't deserve it. God, I loved her and I took care of her and I provided for her and gave her all kinds of blessings and had children by her. Now she's gone. God said, well, what are you going to do? He said, God, I love her. I love her. He said, well, go get her. Just go get her.
Amen.
He went down to the red light district and found her. He didn't just bring her back. He said, Gomer, how much do you charge her today? God was showing Israel. He said, Israel, I went down the first time. You didn't deserve it. And I got you up out of the early Chaldees, and I blessed you, and I made you a nation, and put you in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and then you go backwards with the other gods and the other idols, and left me, and said, but listen, Israel, I still love you. If I need to, I'll buy you back. I love you. That's what I think about a backslide. Before I close, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. He never saw a sliding sink that he wouldn't take back. Romans chapter 5.
Therefore, being justified of faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Listen to this now. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's to the sinners. He said, he commended his love toward us, and even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now, verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He said, now that you are saved, he said, you're justified by his blood. Now, verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Now, that's what we were when we were lost. We were enemies. The enemies of God. He said, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, what's God's message to sinners? I love you. Jesus died for you. Now, what's God's message to backsliders?
You still care for them. Lord, when they're enemies, you save them. And Lord, now, much more than just by God's blood, will you be saved through Him, through His blood. And Father, would you give grace where grace is needed tonight? While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I'm looking around, before I finish this prayer, I wonder if there's one here tonight. You don't have to say anything, but you just lift your hand up and you say, Brother Buddy, I'm not saved, but I'm concerned about it. I'd like you to pray for me. If you're not there, you can lift your hand up. You can do that. I'm not coming back to you embarrassing for me. But Buddy, I'm not saved, but I'm very concerned about it. And I'm here. One of these Christians will come with you and pray with you, pray for you. If you got somebody beside you that you'd like to come pray with you, just tap them on the shoulder and say, would you go with me? And we're just going to pray. Listen, I'm not your priest. Jesus is your priest. All you have to do is just come down here and talk to Jesus, and Jesus will take care of you. If you have a question, if you have a need, and you need some help, you just raise your hand or get somebody and say, I need some help. We'll be glad to show you whatever you need. If you need to be saved tonight, Just get the preacher's wife or somebody and say, will you show me how to be saved? Listen, it's not going to, we're not talking about joining this church. We're not talking about being baptized and doing some kind of religious act. We're talking about having eternal life. Getting eternal life. What we'll do is just take a Bible and show it from the Bible how to be saved. If you'd like to do that, just come forward on the first person. We sing, just as I am, without one plea. Come on, you don't have to wait for anybody to come down.
Just as I am.
Sometimes they'll just tell me, you can do it in the queue. You can do it right back there. Most of the time, just to get down.
I pray that you don't pray before.
say this as a testimony. I've never met one person that stood up in the church or anywhere else and said, I'm sorry I got saved. That ruined my life when I got saved. I mean, I've been sorry ever since. I mean, I wish I'd never done it. But I've seen a lot of people, and a lot of people said, I'm sorry I didn't get saved soon.
Amen.
A lot of folks like that.
Amen.
And it won't hurt you.
Amen.
It won't help you. Somebody else may have something to say.
Anybody else?